Psalm 142. Rather short psalm tonight, and we're deviating from a pattern that we've been setting now for quite a number of weeks, in fact, since our week of prayer here, beginning of the year in January. We took the promises of God, and night by night we've been looking at the Lord's I shalls, what he has promised for us. Tonight we have a couple of shalls, no doubt, in the psalm, but it's what David himself is saying as to what shall happen in his life in days to come. But I couldn't get away from this passage today. So that must mean it's for somebody who's listening in. Not that the other messages, of course, have not been, but I believe it must be. And so we're in Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing onto the reading of his word in our hearing here tonight. With the word of God open before us, let's further settle our hearts and pray to the Lord that he will come and open up the book to our understanding, to our challenge, and also to our comfort tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we seek thy face. And in the middle of all of the stresses and strains of life, in the middle of its joys and its happinesses too, we pray that thou wilt cause the word of God to plough a straight furrow right to our hearts tonight. May it arrive at our door. May it reach into our heart. And may we with both hands take a hold of it and say, that's for me. And may we praise thy name in all of thy holiness, in all of thy grace, and in all of thy mercy and love forever and ever. Answer our prayer tonight, we pray. And may we know thy sweet presence, the fragrance of thy mercy, and the power of thy person and thy work. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. One of the big, as in famous, London preachers from a couple of centuries ago was preaching in the city temple in that grand metropolis of London. His name was Joseph Parker, and he said, no preacher would ever lack a congregation if he preached to troubled hearts. Of course, Joseph Parker was right. And he had proven that over the course of a long and a very fruitful ministry in London, as people flocked to that city temple to hear him preach God's truth. And of course, there are many troubled hearts about today. And I can be confident that when I rise here tonight and speak to those who are troubled in heart, then I'm addressing people in my audience this evening. Those who will be tuning in. Because everybody, everywhere, sooner or later, we experience trial, we undergo trouble, we have tribulation, and even tempest that breaks out upon us. Just check into one of the earlier Psalms for one second or two, Psalm 34, and the verse 19, and what do we read there? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Thank God we can read on and say, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But here's the point, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And here in Psalm 142, we come up to David, we catch up with him in the middle of his experience, and we find, well, you can see in the title of the psalm here, he says it's a prayer. That's what Psalm 142 is all about, a prayer when he was in the cave. So an area of darkness and dampness, an area of isolation, when maybe he was there with only a very small number of others, or even on his own. We don't know the exact circumstances that he's writing out of here. But we can say this, he is in great trouble. You can notice in verse 2 what he says. My complaint, my trouble. Okay, he had a complaint. He was in trouble. What kind of trouble? How deep was he down in this particular trouble? Well, you can read on down through the psalm, and you'll find he was in great trouble. Verse 6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Back up to verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. So there is no doubt whatsoever as to the intensity of David's trouble and the urgency that is in his frame and his mind here as to I need help in the middle of my trouble. And you know what he wanted to do? Not merely to escape out of his trouble, but to glorify God in the middle of that trouble, and by the Lord's relief that he would bring to his life, his rescue and his great deliverance. So we're thinking first of all tonight about the reality of his trouble. The reality of his trouble. Back to verse 3, that word overwhelmed. It says to me and to you, his trouble was very severe. Because overwhelmed, what does it mean? It means wrapped about. Wrapped about. Picture the smoke of a bonfire. And it billows up. And it wraps itself all around the pallets and everything else. And used to be tires that were on that bonfire. And the smoke is swirling around it and rising up into the air. It has engulfed it. And that's the picture of David here when he is overwhelmed. He is surrounded. There's not a side, not an angle that you can come from looking at David. But you'll see the smoke. His trouble is so evident. And then, as we've mentioned in verse 6, that trouble surrounds him and drags him down. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Those words indicate a process. And the process isn't going in the right direction. This process is going lower and lower and lower until he touches the bottom. Overwhelmed by his complaint, through his trouble, until he is, by that complaint and trouble, brought very low. He is going down, and I'm sure for many a moment he was thinking it'll be over and out soon. Because I can't take this any longer. And maybe you, as you tune in tonight, you're in the middle of an overwhelming experience tantamount to David's in this very psalm. So his trouble is very severe. Not only that, he tells us another feature about the trouble, that is, other people had contributed to the severity of his trouble. Other people had contributed. Verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. So what he is telling us is simply this. Those enemies had set a trap for him. They were willing it on. They wanted him to be brought low. They wanted him to be overwhelmed. They wanted to catch him in the middle of this trouble and engulf him as a result of that. And in verse 6, he talks about the same people, and he describes them there as being my persecutors. It's bad enough to be overwhelmed by trouble, surrounded on every side. It is bad enough to be brought very low. But to look around, it's doubly bad in these circumstances to have trouble brought upon you through the disloyalty and the malice and the anger and the envy of many so-called friends. And maybe that's what's happening to you. Those that should be, professedly are, on your side are actually contributors, major players in the trouble that you are going through at this time. Share the platform again with David. That's where he was. It was severe. Other people had contributed to the severity of that trouble. And then he says something else. Nobody seemed to understand or care. Nobody seemed to understand or care. Verse 4, I looked on my right hand, beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. To look on the right hand, as he indicates here, that right hand is mentioned as being the post that would be taken up by a protector. The person or persons that you would expect to be running to your aid, rallying to your cause, supporting you, helping you, reaching out their hand to encourage you. He looked, but they weren't there. No man that would know me. And the word for know was acknowledge. They wouldn't even give so much as this tiny piece of attention from themselves as to acknowledge I was even there. I was in trouble. I had difficulty. No man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That is the hardest thing of the lot. It is a wonderful encouragement and help to know that when we're feeling down, that we have loved ones, we have friends, we have people around who will rally around the case, who will understand the situation, who will empathize with us because they have been there before. But David feels here very intensely, nobody understands. Nobody has a notion what I am going through. They don't want to know. It's obvious. The smoke is swirling. There are problems all around, but they're walking past. The Levite and everyone else don't want to see. They're acting as if I'm invisible, but I'm looking out for them and they're invisible. No man cares for my soul. Was he right? Let's turn to 2 Timothy, right out of the Psalm, 2 Timothy, and to the chapter 4. So when we get to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we're near the end of the chapter, the verse 17. No man cared for my soul, nobody acknowledged me, is that right? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Paul felt pretty alone in this chapter. Look at verse 10. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans," yeah, he's gone to Galatia. "Titus, away over to Dalmatia," they're doing the work of God, these latter men. "Only Luke is with me." He felt isolated. Verse 12, "Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." And so the men are spanning the globe here, spreading around. And who is right with him? Verse 14. "Alexander the coppersmith, but he's not there for his support. He's there to see him smoke. He's there to see him burn. He's there to see him in the middle of his trouble. He did me much evil." Verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." I wonder, did Paul read Psalm 142? Because right now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is standing where David did back in Psalm 142. He's in trouble. He's overwhelmed in spirit. He is being brought low. There are persecutors around him, setting traps for him, stirring things up against him. And he cries out, "But at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me." But that brings the beauty of verse 17 into such wonderfully bright colors. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul found that. David finds it as well in the Psalm 142, and we will get to that. But we're thinking about the reality of his trouble. It's severe. Other people had contributed to the severity of that trouble. Nobody seemed to understand or care, but David, he has written to Sam, not to depress, but to encourage you and me, to show us a way through, to emphasize there is light at the end of the tunnel, that the smoke and the fire will go out. And when it clears, you'll find the Lord stood by you all the time, even when you did not sense it. In fact, call in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what would they tell you? "We thought this is the end. We were condemned to burn. 7 times hotter that furnace was stoked, more so than any other time, and so that should have been the end. But one stood with us, the form of the Son of Man. He was with us right through the trial. Even when we couldn't see him, he was there." The reality about this trouble, and the thing about it is, when you look back to the start of the psalm, what do we read? It's a maskil. That's the title of the psalm, a maskil of David. That means a psalm of instruction. There are lessons to be learned here. Matthew Henry, we always go to him, he's our staple diet in terms of a commentator. Matthew Henry said, "This was because of the good lessons David had himself learned in the cave, learned on his knees, and so learned them that he desired to teach them to others." And we're traveling with David to learn the lessons, the reality about his trouble. Do you know what's very important? How we react whenever the trouble comes. And that's the second, and I only have 2 main points tonight, the reaction to his trouble, but that splits 2 ways. this reaction to his trouble, it splits into a negative and a positive. How did David react to this trouble when he was in the cave, when he had a complaint that he was pouring out, when he had trouble, when he was overwhelmed, when he felt, as he looked around, nobody cares, nobody is there for my help there. Persecutors, they're closing in, but nobody else. They're laying traps for me, but there's nobody there to pull me out of them. How did he react to this reality? Well, notice what he didn't do. That's very important. On the negative level, what he didn't do when the trouble came breaking in upon him, he didn't brood over his trouble and do nothing about it. He did not brood over that trouble and do nothing about it. And that's important. Sometimes when we're in the middle of trouble, we give in, give up, we flop, we become inactive, we sit there groaning and moaning but do nothing about it. And that is disastrous. Another thing he didn't do, so we're on another negative here, he did not indulge in self-pity. He didn't feel sorry for himself and wallow about in a poor me attitude to this particular bad situation. So he didn't brood over the troubles and do nothing about them, didn't indulge in self-pity, didn't become bitter or rebellious because he's not sitting there. You'll not find it in the psalm at all. That's why I'm saying it. He isn't sitting there questioning, Lord, where's your love now? Where's your care for me now? Where's your protection for me now? Where's your wisdom in allowing me to get into this position in the first place? Where's your providence that isn't coming to my rescue as far as I can see? He didn't become hard and critical and cantankerous, bitter in that key. And another thing in a negative scale, he didn't overburden others with trouble. You'll say, well, there weren't any others close by that he could overburden because they had fled from him. Yeah, there was no one to help. And so, even if he would, he couldn't fill their ears with his sorrow. But that's a lesson, because there's always a better solution than filling the ears of our fellow man. How did he react to his trouble? We've thought about how he didn't react so negatively. Well, what did he do positively? Let's get to the solution that David found here. He did three very important things. Number one, he brought his trouble before the Lord in prayer. He brought his trouble before the Lord in prayer. Look at verse 1 and also verse 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Very obviously, he prayed. Verse 2, he brings that up a level. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. There's intensity in this prayer. There is urgency in this prayer in verse 1 as well. There is definiteness in this prayer as well. I poured out my complaint before him, spelled it out. And the prayer is so practical. I showed before him. I showed before him. I declared it. My trouble. And when I read that, I instinctively think of Hezekiah. Over in Isaiah chapter 37 and the verse 14, and we have Hezekiah, and in comes a threatening letter from the enemy. What does he do? He takes the letter and he opens it in the Lord's presence. Lord, you read it. See what it's all about. Take in all the angles. Take all the lines. Get the full picture. I could miss a lot of this. Lord, you will get it all. We think of the Christians in the early church as well. They had heard their leading preacher, Peter, was in prison. And in Acts 12 and verse 5, we see what they did. They assembled together and prayer was made unto the Lord for him. That's how to react in the time of trouble. bring the whole matter and bring ourselves before the Lord and plead for his gracious help. I cried unto the Lord. With my voice did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So he brought his trouble before the Lord, as Tommy sang at the beginning. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we do. What happened as well? Well, you'll see his faith in God was deepened. In verse 3, I've emphasized the downside of verse 3 up to this point. But there's something I didn't emphasize when I previously read it. Let's see it. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Look at the next clause. Then thou knewest my path. He couldn't even see his own path. He's surrounded by all of this trouble, like this blazing bonfire. He can't see anything. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Job 23 and 10, all over again. He knoweth the way that I take. He sees my path. And it seems right here to me as if David is just lifting his eyes away from his trouble, looking up into the face of the Lord and saying, it's all right, you know, because the Lord knows all about me. He sees it all. Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. What's that but the expression of faith? David is trusting in the Lord, and because of that trusting in him, he is beginning to triumph in the middle of his trouble. Reminds us of that famous psalm, to which we'll turn very quickly, Psalm 23 and the verse 4. Yea, though I walk through. And he's saying again, acknowledging, Lord, you can see me where I'm walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all darkness. Nobody else can see me, but I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so he brings his trouble before the Lord in prayer. That's the first positive action that he performs. Then his faith in God was deepened. And you know what else happened? Third thing, his spirit is filled with hope. His spirit is filled with hope. He begins to do what up until this point he couldn't even think of doing. Contemplate the future. Think of the day beyond today. Where do we find that? Well, look at verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. It's one thing to trust God for this present moment, but what about us trusting him for the unknown future? I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. That's what David, in essence, is saying here. Shall I come out of trouble? Yes, I shall. He doesn't lose hope. He doesn't allow his soul to be flooded with despair. Remember how it was in the shipwreck for Paul? In Acts 27:20, then all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But even in that impossible situation, where men had given up and thrown hope overboard with everything else, God stepped in and gave deliverance. And David expects it here. He's talking about getting out. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully, bountifully with me. Things are going to be not just ordinary, but beyond this day, extraordinary. Because of the Lord, he's going to deal bountifully with me. Notice the phrase, the righteous shall compass me about. And what you have there is that they circle. That's what the word means, compass, circle. Do you know what it also means? It means crown. What will happen in the congregation of the people of God when David is out of prison, out away from the circle of his trouble? There's a new circle comes in. He was overwhelmed before this, circled around, surrounded on every side. But now the righteous, he says, the righteous shall compass me about. They shall circle me. They shall be there as a crown. And you know why they'll be there? They'll be talking with him, discussing with him, saying, David, tell us how the Lord dealt bountifully with you. Tell the story. Give us your testimony. Tell of your triumph through God's intervention in the middle of dire trouble. We want to hear that because we want to glorify him. And isn't that where David's focus is in verse 7? Bring my soul out of prison, that. Here's the purpose. Not so that I can pull off these shackles, put out this smoke, be free from all of the problems and issues of life, that I may praise thy name. And what a prayer this is. When you're in the middle of trouble, do we pray like this? This is a hard prayer to pray. It's so usual that in trouble and trial, we'll be so self-centered, it'll be all about us. Our prayer will be centered on us. Here's a lesson that we need to learn. Switch your focus from yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, bring me out to bring glory to your name. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Here is the way to get out of the cave. Here is the way of escape from being overwhelmed and caught in the trap of our persecutors. Engage in prayer. That prayer in turn will strengthen faith. It will open your eyes wider to see the Lord. And faith will start talking in the words of hope and confidence about the future. Spurgeon said, the gloom of the cave is over the psalm. And yet, as if standing at the mouth of the cave itself, this prophet, poet David sees a bright light a little beyond. A bright light a little beyond. If you're in trouble tonight, and you might well be, in the cave, darkness of trial, foreboding thoughts in your mind, everything surrounding you that is working against you. Remember this. There is a bright light a little beyond. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. But put your trust in the Lord himself. And as David says, he will deal bountifully with you. I'm about to close, but I can't close without mentioning something here. David has described himself as being in trouble, with a complaint, overwhelmed that spirit within him, looking around for help, and there was none forthcoming. Let me take you to John, the Gospel of John, and the chapter 13. John chapter 13, and to the verse 21. Someone else who was troubled. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. His friends sold him out. One betrayed him, the others deserted him. They ran, they fled, they scurried, they went off in every direction when the trouble came. He's been there before any of us. Let's come back another couple of chapters. Same book, John chapter 11. And drop down to the verse 33, John 11, 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. Notice these words. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Our Lord did not say to us, by way of instruction, weep with them that weep, without practicing what he preached. Look at what he does. He sees her weeping. Mary is full of tears. Lazarus, her brother, is dead. The Jews also weeping, which came with her. And when he saw them weeping, he wept. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And those famous two words, verse 35, Jesus wept. And when you and I are going through our trouble, through the depth of it, in the darkness of it, crying out as David does here, no man cared for my soul, nobody understands. Let's remember, put the brakes on that thought. Jesus understands. And he cares. And as our spirit is overwhelmed, so correspondingly his is troubled. And as we sorrow, so he sorrows and reaches out the hand of help and of hope. I close with the words of James Edmiston, written away back in 1821. You'll recognize him, one of our famous hymns, traditional hymn, old hymn. We don't often sing it, I suppose, but it speaks to where we are in Psalm 142 tonight. Savior, breathe forgiveness o'er us. All our weakness thou dost know. Thou didst tread this earth before us. Thou didst feel its keenest woe. Lone and dreary, faint and weary, through the desert thou didst go. David's in a cave in the desert. That's how we feel. But that's where Jesus has been. And that's where he is. Spirit of our God descending, fill our hearts with heavenly joy, love with every passion blending, pleasure that can never cloy. Thus provided, pardoned, guided, nothing can our peace destroy. We end with verse 7 again in Psalm 142. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Make this your prayer. If you're in trouble, live in this psalm. And live your way out through your trouble due to this psalm as you meditate upon it. And as you cry, Lord, you've been this way before me. Come close and abide and bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. We're coming to prayer. And do remember, of course, our brother, Reverend Paul Fitzsimons, who's in hospital at this moment in time. And may he know the Lord's nearness. All that we've thought about in Psalm 142, may he know. His wife, Pamela, as well. And all the family, of course. Do pray for the dead man family that we've mentioned over the past couple of weeks. Pray for Maureen Matthews' family as her sister passed away just at the tail end of last week, maybe the start of this week. Do pray for that family as well, the Matthews family. Rather striking that when I was in the dead man home there just last week, I met one of the daughters who went to a church in Peterborough. When I was visiting Maureen Matthews some time ago in the city hospital, I met her son on a couple of occasions. And would you believe it? He lives in Peterborough, and he goes to the same church. And these were people that both had connections with this house in days gone by. But may the Lord comfort their hearts now that they are in trouble themselves. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call upon thy name tonight, and we praise thee for this psalm. The fact that David was in the cave and learned lessons, well, as Matthew Henry has rightly told us, he's passing on the lessons to us. Lord, give us the grace to learn them. Give us the foresight to practice them. Help us, Lord, to be crying unto thee when we are overwhelmed in our spirit, when it seems that nobody else could or would help us, when no one but Christ could help. He lifted me. Lord, we pray that as thou didst help David and the Apostle Paul and others that we have in passing mentioned tonight, Job, the three Hebrew children, come alongside and help us. As we look out and we see no human protector taking up the position we hoped they would occupy, but they have deserted, even betrayed. But may we see the Lord standing at the post of our great protector and bring us out of prison to praise thy name. Lord, we pray for the dead man family, for the Matthews family. Give comfort, give help and grace and the power of thy great supplies. Come be near her brother, Reverend Fitzsimons, his wife, Pamela, and the family. We know they have sustained a heavy blow in recent days with the passing of Pamela's mother. Lord, come now when both Pamela and Paul are facing their own personal troubles, that thou wilt come and heal them both. Come, Lord, and take the darkness away from our land. Maybe, Lord, in faith in thy person and work, see that just beyond today is a brighter tomorrow. Let us see the light of hope. Come and answer prayer. Do us good tonight. Be with everyone who has tuned in and listened. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.